The Lord has just really had it on my heart to study the blood of Jesus. And so I've gotten a lot of books and just been reading through the Word and reading some books about the blood of Jesus. And so I'm probably going to be talking for several weeks. I mean, for the next 2 weeks, we got, not for the next 2 weeks, but anyway. But when I speak, I'm going to be speaking about the blood of Jesus. And I really wanted to talk about the cross today. You know, Pastor Jeremy said, you know, that today was going to be unrestrained. Like the theme for today was unrestrained in our pre-service prayer. And when he said that, I thought about, you know, talk about unrestrained. Jesus is a picture of unrestrained. And as much abandon as he did of himself to that cross, he wants us to be that on fire, to be that unrestrained in our own lives. So I really, like, typically this would be like an Easter message, I guess, but I really felt like the Lord, because so many people come to Easter Sunday service that don't normally come to church, I didn't want to give a traditional Easter message, you know. I wanted to talk about the, you know, our image and the glory of God. But I think a lot of times, you know, we talk about the provision of the cross, which is wonderful. We need to talk about the provision, but we have to remember that the provision of the cross, all the provision we have came through the cross. That is the central part of humanity. And we have a world who we have psychology, sociology, archaeology, we have medicine, we have the sciences, we have all these different ologies and isms out there that are trying to figure out and fix the world, but they're not addressing the problem, right? They're studying a fallen creation, trying to figure out how to fix it, and there's only one fix, because the problem is sin. And the problem is the sin nature. And so God knew, he's the only one who knew what was really wrong, and he's the only one who could really fix it. He knew that we needed atonement. He knew that we needed to be delivered from that sin nature and brought back to the nature of God that was designed to dwell inside of us. And he knew that was the problem. And until that could be fixed, there was no resolution for man. There was the best person, you know, with the best of anything in fallen creation could never fix what was wrong with man and could never reach to the heights of who God is. And we just see in part. I mean, we can get a glimpse of heaven, but we need to understand we're just seeing in part. And there's going to be a day when we're all going to stand there and we're going to be, I mean, just amazed at where we're spending eternity and where we are going to be for the rest of our lives. And it was Jesus coming to bring that. So if you look at the Old Testament, because all the Old Testament is types and shadows of the New Testament, Yom Kippur was the celebration that they did once a year, and that was the atonement. And God was so aware of man's guilt consciousness and sin consciousness that. And you have to see the love of God in this, that he put in practice within the Jewish tradition Yom Kippur. And what they did is take a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, and the priest would actually put his hands on that animal to infuse it, so to speak, with all the sins of Israel. And then they would take that animal and they would sacrifice that animal. And it was a picture of what was going to happen with Jesus. Right? And the purpose was to relieve their consciousness of sin, and they would do this every single year. But to me, if you just look at that, just in God's simplicity, do you see how much he didn't want us to live with a guilty conscience? Like that's mercy. That's beauty. He so wanted his people free of any kind of guilt or condemnation that he put something in place so that they could, you know, symbolically infuse that with all of the guilt and shame and then sacrifice it because the Bible says that the wages of sin are death. If you sin, you have to die, right? And but yet God so didn't want us dead and he so wanted us relieved of a guilty conscience that he put the atonement in place for the people of Israel. So let's just look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, because in the book of Hebrews, they're comparing the old covenant with the new covenant. And it says, the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, because they were offering the same sacrifice every year, make those who approach perfect. Now just that statement right there is telling you that God's goal is to make people perfect. And what he's saying is this way couldn't do it. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? They wouldn't have had to do any more offerings. For the worshipers, once purified, would have, and that was my typo, no more consciousness of sins. He's saying if the Old Testament sacrifice was really what God wanted to do, there would be no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. But we have to see what's the intention behind that. God's intention was he wanted his people free of sin. He wanted his people free of a sin consciousness. And yet you have whole religious systems built on making people feel guilty. And even in the Jewish tradition, one of the purposes of it was to relieve people from guilt. If you look at the meaning of grace, the actual meaning of grace is it's God's response to sin and its purpose is to remove guilt. That's in Strong's definition. So you need to know when you sin, God's response is grace. Not condemnation. Isn't that amazing? People have gotten it so messed up. So, but here, what it's talking about is in the Old Testament, in the Jewish tradition, all they did was cover sin. So sin was covered for a year because the animal, quote unquote, took the sin away. But it couldn't eradicate the problem. So here we have, wrong button. Here we see in Hebrews 9:26, Jesus has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And John the Baptist says in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God, right? What'd they do? They infused their sin into a lamb. So he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Woohoo! That's a good deal. He takes away the sin of the world. He takes away the sin of the world. Because that was the problem. It says for this reason, those who accept his sacrifice, there remains no further sacrifice for sin. That's it. So let's go to Hebrews 7. In Hebrews 7, and I taught about some of this when I taught about high priest, it says, now again, read this slowly, look at this. For such a high priest, Jesus Christ, comes in the form of a man, and he's operating as high priest for us, right? It was fitting for us. It was fitting for you to have a high priest that is what? That is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. That's the type of high priest that you deserved. That was the high priest that was fitting for you, was that type of high priest, not one who had to go daily as those other high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's sins. For this he did once for all when he, Jesus, offered up himself. So he was the high priest and he was the lamb being slain on the altar. Wrap your mind around that. He was both. He was both. And that is what was fitting for you. That's what you deserved. You deserved that pure, undefiled, holy, blameless high priest who didn't sin and have to offer sins for himself, offer a sacrifice for himself, but he was so pure and he was so holy. That's what was fitting for you. And then he goes up and he becomes the offering. There was only one high priest that was good enough to make that offering. And there was only one offering that would be acceptable to God. And that was Jesus. It goes on in Hebrews 9 to say, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Our consciences should be so pure. Our awareness of who we are and the righteousness of God that each one of us is should be unquestionable because of what he did. Because of what he did. Do you see how he wants us to walk free of the past? He wants us to walk in the fullness of what he's done. You need to see that all three, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, were involved in this sacrifice. Jesus offered himself through the Spirit. All three of them were involved in this sacrifice. All three of them wanted in on this. None of them were going to be, "Oh, no, 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 no. You're not going to do that without me. I want a piece of this." When this thing goes down, I want to be like one of the three. Because what they were going to do was so awesome. It was so incredible what God was going to do on that cross. So I just want us to take a minute to think about this. Is that, because sometimes we lose this. God came down in a human form into a little baby, vulnerable to the world. You know, Joseph and Mary had to protect him because they were trying to kill him and everything, right? And he grows up, he goes through life, he has diapers to be changed, he's nursed. I mean, he comes in that vulnerable, right? And his whole purpose is to die on a cross. That's his whole purpose. And so here, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of everything, is betrayed, right? He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and I believe in that time when he knows what's about to happen to him, and here he is so pure, he's so undefiled, he's so holy, and yet he knows that he is going to have to become sin. And I believe, and I've talked about this before, I believe that for him, I don't think he was as concerned about the beating as he was concerned about the fact that he was going to have to become sin and he was going to have to experience what it's like to feel separated from God. And that's what he was dreading in the garden. And this is the creator of all. And I want you to hear in this your value to God. There's so many people that look at the cross and put guilt on people. If bulls and goats aren't supposed to make you feel guilty, why in the world would Jesus' sacrifice make you feel guilty? Really? I mean, because he said if really the blood of bulls and goats was working, there would be no more consciousness of sins. So how can people praise the cross out of guilt? That's backwards. So I want you to see in every single millisecond of what he did, you need to see your great value to God, because God was willing to come down in human form, be subject to everything that there is on this earth, and go through what he went through, especially in the last days, because you were valuable. Your life was valuable. He could not imagine eternity without you. And that's why he went to the cross. So he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's like, Father, if there's any other way, not my will, but he says, not my will, yours be done. I believe his whole thing was, he knew he had to become sin. It's like, and I liken it to a woman willingly being raped. Like you just, it's like, oh my gosh, no, he's going to be violated. He was going to have to take that on. It's like, it's awful. So he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows he's going to become sin. And then, you know, he has to stand before Pilate. They all come to get him out of the garden. He goes before Pilate. They're plucking at his beard. They're spitting on him. This is the man who created them. Do you see value in that? That he's willing to go through that? The one who created them is in this realm, subject to them, and he's being spit on, he's being cursed at, he's being mistreated, he's being beaten, he's just all that. They're plucking out the beard, they're just mocking him, they put a purple robe on him and say, oh, you think you're the King of Kings? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're just absolutely just despising him. And yet he went through all of that and didn't even raise his voice, didn't even get irritated, just stood there and took it all. Because he saw your face in front of him and you were worth it. He goes through this horrific beating where he's beaten with lashes, and you know, they say the Passion of the Christ, which is tough to watch, but you know, it's his skin is opened up, his bones are exposed. I mean, he's just beaten beyond recognition. His eyes are swollen shut. You know, I mean, this is horrendous. What he went through was absolutely horrendous, but he did it for love. He did it for love. It was his privilege to do it because every single one of us are so valuable to him. And to have people twist this into guilt and condemnation is just, it violates everything that he stood for. He's a merciful God, and you were valuable, and he knew who you were before you were even formed. And he, just like he's on that cross, he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. How much more do you think he says that to you and I when we mess up? You know? It's not like, okay, now that you're born again and you mess up, well, what the heck do you think you're doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's on the cross for people who don't know him, and he's saying, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, don't you think he's doing at least that for you when you mess up? You know what I'm saying? Like, how did we get that messed up? Because that's all he knows. Whenever we operate at less than who we are at Christ, it's just because there's an area of our life that we're deceived and we just don't understand who we really are. And he knows that more than anything. So he carries the cross. You know, Simon Cyrene had the privilege of helping him with the cross. Can you imagine what that must be like? That he had the testimony of walking with Jesus and helping to carry the cross, having the blood on him. I mean, he probably didn't know it at that time. But man, he had that privilege. On the cross, he took on the sin of the whole world. We need to understand this. Every sin that man ever committed, past, present, and future, everything that Hitler did, Mussolini did, every abortion, every murder, every horrible, every lie, you know, just in case we think there's one sin worse than another, but I mean, every lie, every deception, everything that ever happened, he took all of that on that cross. Every sickness, every disease, and he willing, like someone said, Facebook post, said, you know, that nails didn't hold him to the cross, love did. Love held him on that cross. And you know, he chose to die because he there was a moment when he decided to die. Yep. He could have lived forever, right? But he chose to die. There was a moment he chose to die. And every single one of us was on his heart when he did that. You know, he took all the wrath of God on that. You know, people get upset. because it's, you know, it quotes Psalm 22. Psalm 22, 23, and 24 are talking about Jesus. 22 is his crucifixion, and it says, it starts out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so many people go, well, God never forsook Jesus. No, I don't believe he ever did, but I believe that Jesus experienced what it's like to feel forsaken by God. Just like God never forsook us, right? But we experience separation from him, so we feel like we were forsaken by God. I believe he hung on that cross. God never forsook him, but Jesus felt what it was like to feel like you've been forsaken by God. Right? And that's been, because everybody, every single one of us has had that experience. You may have had it yesterday. But he's never forsaken you. So Jesus experienced, because he had to experience everything that we experienced. And Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, even though God still came, they felt forsaken because his presence, because they no longer were one with him. You know, Pastor Jeremy just mentioned last week about how he felt like our greatest need is to feel desired. And that's what the cross should do. The cross speaks that you are greatly desired. Do you realize that there was someone willing to die for you? You know, we talked in the Keep Your Love On study about boundaries and how the more valuable something is, the more of a boundary you put around it, right? Well, it's the same thing with Jesus. The more valuable something is the price that was paid. And the price that was paid for each one of us, and willingly, without reservation, unreservedly, unrestrained, was Jesus going to the cross. It was the joy, the scripture tells us it was the joy set before him to go to that cross. And so each one of us needs to know that there was someone who was willing to die for you, because that's how valuable you are. That's amazing. And religion gets it so turned around. It says in Isaiah 53 that he bore our sicknesses, carried our pains, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was pierced for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And there's a journey in walking that out. But there is no right for any single one of us to walk in any kind of sickness or disease, because Jesus, the scripture tells us, he took all of it on the cross. And that's a progressive revelation for us sometimes. But that's the truth. That is the truth. The scripture says he took all disease on him. And that's not so you can be without disease in heaven, because there ain't any disease in heaven. You don't need that when you're in heaven. Right? You need it now. It says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Iniquity was going our own way, which is like rebellion. We were just all in rebellion against God. When we look at the world, that's what's going on right now. People are trying to make a God in their own image. That's what's happening in the world. We're trying to make a God in our image instead of the image of the God that we were made in his image. We have to go back to the source. We have to go back. So, I mean, you know, you see children 13 years old deciding they're the wrong sex, and their parents are letting them change it. It's like God didn't make a mistake when he made you a little boy or a little girl. You know, I mean, it's tragic what's happening right now in the world. Talk about an identity crisis. Oh, my gosh. But it's because they don't know who they are. We have to understand that we have to stand in the same position with them and with Jesus and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We need to have compassion and mercy and demonstrate Jesus to them so that they can see the truth. God has laid on Jesus the iniquity or rebellion of everyone. So even everybody today, Jesus has taken all of that as well. He says he took on, there's multiple aspects. He took on the rebellion, the evil consequences of rebellion, and the punishment of rebellion. See, in the world, it says, you made your bed, you need to sleep in it. In Jesus' world, it says, you made your bed, he slept in it. And you get a brand new bed with clean sheets. Isn't that awesome? Every time, a brand new bed with clean sheets. So what happened? Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. Jesus died our death that we might share his life. Jesus was made a curse that we might receive the blessing. Jesus endured poverty that we might share his abundance. Jesus bore our shame that we might share his glory. Jesus endured our rejection that we might enjoy his acceptance. Our old man Adam died in Jesus, and the new man, that the new man Christ might live in us. That's a good deal. All the evil due by justice to come on us, everything that was due for our rebellion, all mankind, all everything that was due came on Jesus. So that all the good due to Jesus that he earned by his sinless obedience on this earth might come to us. Wow. Wow. It's the great exchange. It's the great exchange. And see, we talk about provision, but I want to come back to why do we have the provision? You know, that sometimes it's just good to come back to the simplicity. You know, I didn't tell Amy what the message was going to be about, but she picked those. I picked the last song, but she picked the first three. The Holy Ghost told her. But I mean, all of that was the basic crux of it's the cross. It's the cross. It's the cross. We have to go back to the cross. You know, why do we worship him? Because he hung on a cross for us. We're talking about going into intimate time with the Lord, spending time in his presence, worshiping him. Why are we worshiping him? Because he gave me health. Yeah, well, I'm appreciative of that. But why? How did he do that? He did that by suffering on a cross for us. He did that by bleeding for us. He did that by dying for us. And we can't bypass that. And I'm not saying it again. It's not a guilt or condemnation way. It's, oh my gosh, you value me so much. How can I not love you? How can I not love you? Look what you've done for me. And love will lead you to lead a life of obedience far greater than guilt or condemnation ever could. Religion has it so messed up. It's so messed up. He delivered us from the present evil age, from the law, from self, from the flesh, from the world. 1 Corinthians 15:45, and I'll finish it up here. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Jesus, people a lot of times say Jesus was the second Adam. He was not the second Adam. He was the last Adam. Yes. The first man, it says, 1547 says, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now listen to this. So on the cross, Jesus was the last Adam. He was not the last in the sense of time, but in the sense that all of the evil inheritance of the Adamic race came on him at the cross. That's profound. All of the evil inheritance of the Adamic race came onto him at the cross. All of it. Everything that had come from Adam, again, all the evil, all that the sin nature had done, all the destruction it had done, all of that, that wrath and everything came on Jesus. And he sustained that. And he was the last Adam. And when you put your faith in him, you are taken out that, he takes all that Adam, and then you walk out. Because it was buried with him, the evil nature inherited from Adam was completely put away in him, and when he rose from the dead, he is the second man, and a new race of people called Emmanuel's, God with us, come out of the grave with him. Woohoo! That's good news. That's the gospel. That's it. And because we're Emmanuel's, because we're God with us, because we're now the children of God, because we're out, we're not in the grave, we're out of the grave, we now walk in the fullness. So yes, do we have health and we have prosperity and we have all these things, but there was a price that gave them to us because he valued us so much, because he wanted us to walk in righteousness and truth. We were designed to live a life free of sin, free of oppression, free of bondage, free of poverty, all of that. We were designed to live free of that, and that's what he did at the cross for us. Man, we are so incredibly blessed, and we are so incredibly loved, and that's what I so much want you to see in this. It says, by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. We're perfected forever. This word has perfected appears in the perfect tense. Only once was this sacrifice to be offered. It never needs to be repeated. It's a perfect sacrifice that would completely perfect all who put their faith in it. What he did is perfect and complete, and our appropriation of it is a work in progress. Nothing can be added to what he has done, and nothing can be taken from it. Wow. Wow. We should live free of guilt. We need to understand our great value. We understand that there was one problem in our lives. The problem was we were born in Adam, and there was you couldn't help but sin. You couldn't help but sin. Your life was a train wreck, yeah, because you couldn't help but sin. Because that's the nature you had when you were born in. But you must be born again. And we're born again, Christ comes to live inside of us. And then we walk out the process of learning who we truly are in Christ. We're finally returned. We finally have a suit that fits. And we're returned back to who we were created to be. And then it unfolds the destiny that he had for us before the foundations of the world, of who we were truly created to be and the fullness of that. Amen? So, I want to do communion, and I want you to keep this on, Randy. Don't stop the tape. But I want to do communion, and I want all of us to just be thinking about this, because the Lord really had me I just really felt he wanted to say that there's people here that you might still be carrying your past away around with you. You know, that there's things that you need to understand are no longer a part of who you are. And either he took every sin on the cross or he didn't. I hope he did. Because if he didn't, it's like Paul said, we might as well just drink and, you know, because, right? I mean, if there's no resurrection, if he didn't take sin, if he didn't do what he did on the cross, then we just might as well, let's have lunch and just call it an end, right? So I just feel that the Lord, I'm going to take communion. We're going to have a couple up here and a couple up here so we can do it a little bit quicker. But I really want you to take communion and just come up, get the elements, and then go off on your own. But I really want, the Lord wants to just really have you solidify in your heart that you are free of your past. You are absolutely free of everything that you ever did in your past, and you are absolutely free of whatever was done against you in your past. Because if he paid for all sin, that means he paid for the sin of whoever sinned against you. we don't like that sometimes. But that's the truth. So you're not only free of any sin you committed, you're free of any sin that was done against you. And so this is a time for you not only to release yourself from your past, it's an opportunity for you to release yourself from the past that others may have put on you. Right? Because no one has the right to define you except for Christ. Your past, we can no longer say, well, I'm this way because this. No. No, I'm this way because of this. Amen? Amen? So we'll just take a few minutes. I want you to, once you get the elements, just you can come back to your chair. You can go outside. Just make sure someone can unlock the door to bring you back in. But you can just, whatever, and I just want you to take a few minutes to just ask the Holy Spirit, is there something I'm holding on to from the past? Is there a way I'm seeing myself that's not true? And Lord, release me from that. Right? Release me from the lie. Release me from the lie of what someone may have done against me to bring me into the fullness of who, to the full awareness of who I am in Christ. Amen? So let's just go ahead and take communion. Thank you, Lord.